There's no doubt that we all have to prepare for that moment, or all the moments, as a matter of fact, to be that sanctuary for the Lord. Who knows when the Lord may call you, or who knows when the Lord may want to pass by for you in your situation. You always must be preparing. Every last one of us preparing, all the time working. Working in the field or staying busy doing something for the kingdom of God, whether it be through prayer or be a missionary or whatever, you know, even working at your job and being faithful and going to work every day is very important. Being a witness to those out in the world, preparing ourselves to be a sanctuary. And I hope that you've prepared yourself for tonight or for the message or for the worship or for the time that you'll get around the altars and pray. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. I merely wanted to title this. It's going to be kind of deceptive just a little bit as my start-off scripture. But my title tonight is God's Favorites. As we all know, that really, I mean, God really doesn't have favorites. He's no respecter of persons. But there are people that He goes after. There are people that He desires to help when there is a time of need. And there is a time when God does begin to move for folks in a way that's absolutely magnificent sometimes that we cannot always be able to put into words or understand because of His majesty and how He works on things. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. I have several scriptures tonight, but hopefully I won't have you turn to too many. But it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, or whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." As you see there, when it says whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and then it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Let's all bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to You tonight. I pray that You'd stand me in liberty. Already feel and appreciate the unction of the Spirit that we feel tonight, the anticipation to preach Your Word and to expound it to these wonderful people that sit in this congregation. Lord, I pray that You would move and minister by Your Word, minister by Your power, being able to help and minister to these people through Your wonderful Word, being able to help those who need help. Lord, being able to open the ears of those that need to hear this sermon, Lord, I pray that You would do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said, you know, this is called God's Favorites. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the church tonight. Now, I chose a scripture and because of the diversities that we have within the house of God, there's no doubt that there is not one of us in here who is like the other. There is not one person in here who, we may have similarities or we may have family that go to this church, but necessarily each one of us, we are different. There are differences of people. There are diverse kinds of background. There are people here from some states than other states, and even we have some visitors in here tonight. And there's no doubt that many of us, as we look, we could look around the room, there are several in here that we're different people. Even if we'd look at our circumstances, under normal circumstances, some of us, under normal circumstances, I mean, as being out in the world or whatever, we would never have anything in common, you and I. Or even the person sitting next to you or the person that's across the pew from you or whatever. Many of us would have nothing in common. Maybe even if we were out in the world and never had church or Jesus Christ in common, some of us would have nothing to talk about because of the diversities that are in here. One person, I've brought it up several times about just different folks and different way people are. And really, if it wasn't for our relationship in Jesus Christ or being a part of the church of God, we would really, some of us would have nothing in common. But God has chosen it to be that way. However, each and every one of us are not under normal circumstances. We are all under supernatural circumstances which have brought us all together underneath one roof to watch out for each other, to help each other, to minister to one another, to serve one another, to be a part of a church that will be a ministering power for one another when those situations arise that you and I cannot handle, that we would be there for one another in this church as the church of God. Or even not necessarily this church, but if another brother or sister church was in need, that we would be able to help them or help somebody else. And necessarily their name did not have to be Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist. We could be able to help one another and minister to one another's needs because we are the church. However you find yourself tonight, whether you find yourself and you look at your personality or your attitude or whatever it may be, you here tonight are here by divine appointment. Now, some of people that are not here tonight necessarily could have been given the divine appointment. God may have already spoke to them to be in the house of God tonight. However, they didn't necessarily keep their appointment with God. You didn't come here to hear me preach tonight. Some of you probably didn't even know I was preaching. But however, you have come tonight to keep an appointment with God. Keep an appointment with your Savior. And some people missed out on that little tug upon their heart tonight. That's why the pews are so empty. Mostly because God has had a divine appointment for them. Now, however, you're here tonight and you have to listen to me rant and rave for about the next 3.5 hours. So good luck. As my title suggests, I want to talk about God's favorite people. I want to talk about those people who God clings to, who God looks for, who God chases after. As you might pet your ego tonight, you may be hoping I'm talking about you of being one of God's favorites. There's no doubt that there is something good about being either God's friend or when you're picked out in the Bible and some people were called a servant of God or a man after God's own heart. There's no doubt that that's something to look forward to, but that might not be where I'm heading tonight. But let's just see where I go. You may just have to see where all this leads to. But let's look. I don't want to spoil. Usually I'll tell you my points when I first start off, but I dare not do that tonight lest I spoil all my fun and then you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. So my first point tonight is I want to talk about the least. God's favorite as being the least. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35 through 40, if you want to turn there, that's fine, but I'm going to speed up just because for time's sake. It says Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35, it says, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee, a stranger, or took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, I want you to catch this, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." He called them the least. He said, when you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. I mean, Jesus Christ, when He is talking about the least, He is talking about those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are naked, those who are sick, those who are in prison, those people who are strangers to us. When we look at those different people or those different categories of people, however we want to look at them, we see that there is a vast number of people here in need, or we could say even that they have an affliction, so to speak. I guarantee you there is nobody out here that is signing up to be hungry or thirsty. There's nobody in here that really ever feels like or likes being a stranger. I don't like walking into a room full of people who necessarily, not that I desire to be known, but I don't like it when I walk into a room full of people and everybody turns around and looks at you and says, I wonder what in the world you're doing here. You don't belong. I've had that happen once or twice. Mostly because you see these different people, these different people, these different folks live in obscurity. Some of us here that even live in Goshen, we may not even know who some of the sick people are. We may not know some of the poor people. We may not know some of the people who are even in Elkhart County Prison. Some people do know that because that belongs with their job. But however, we do not know all of these people, all of the least of these. Sometimes they live in obscurity. They are poor. They are the least known. And sometimes they may even be the most despised and afflicted folks. And yet we don't even know sometimes that they even exist. They are the least. And necessarily God these are some of God's favorites. Now, when I look at this, I see that there are some things that are going on here. We have the hungry, the thirsty, and the naked. In other words, these people have within themselves, they have need of material needs. Not material things. I don't need a new car. I don't need somebody to buy me a new van. I don't need something like that. But these people have material needs. Or you have the sick people who have physical needs. There are those in prison, those that have broken the law and have even self-inflicted themselves with trouble. Or we have those who are strangers or when they don't even fit in or when you and I don't fit in sometimes. These are the people, the least, that God desires to minister to. We look at the different variety. And there's no doubt, I know in my lifetime that there have been times that I have needed material things. Or I've needed a physical touch in my body. Or I have done something wrong to somebody else and I needed their forgiveness. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about we at times have been the least. We have been amongst these people. And there have been no doubt times that when somebody has knocked on my door and placed a bag of groceries outside of my door of my house when I was laid off or whatever, and the Lord has helped and moved through certain needs and certain help, and I've been there. I know what it's like to be the least. Sometimes when even you may go to certain places, and I know I've had it happen to me, especially, I've been preaching like 15 years or something, and you would go to certain places, and because your daddy wasn't nobody, or because your mom wasn't anyone, or because you didn't come from a particular kind of church or somebody's particular church, you'd walk into some of these camp meetings, or you'd walk into some of these churches, and you'd sit down and say, well, I'm from Brother So-and-so's church over here at this town. And they would, some of them would just merely just shake your hand and they would never have talked to you anymore. You were a stranger, an outcast. Some of the times that we've gotten ourselves in those places that the Lord no doubt has passed by and helped me and you through some of those very situations. The least of us have been helped by the hand of the Lord. When some of these monetary things of the world have dried up, I have seen the abundance and the ever-living power of God come by and minister to me when I needed Him. I needed some real material things. I needed money to be able to pay my bills. I needed food to be able to put on my table to be able to help my children. And there's no doubt that when I was the least of these, the Lord helped me many, many times. And I've never been found where He's not been faithful to come by and minister to me or these people that I'm talking about. You talking physical needs or folks that need a cure in their body. They've tried to spend all types of money on some pills or some doctor, help asking them to help. And I'm not against the doctor. Please go see your doctor. But do all that you can to come to an altar of prayer and ask for the Lord to minister to your body. If you would give the Lord some time or minister to you, you never know what the Spirit of the Lord may do for you in your physical need or your ailment. For some, this world's knowledge was not able to find their cure. Some people will look at you. A matter of fact, when I had my appendix out here a couple weeks ago, the guy that was, I hate to talk about him, we may meet later on. But however, the emergency room doctor, he said, I think all you have is the flu. He said, but we're going to take some more tests anyway. Now, my appendix had to come out, folks, like a half hour later after they took the test. And I don't remember what the test is. I'm not going to appear dumb to you. I already do that well enough. But no doubt about it, they don't always have all of the answers. But I do know someone who does have the answers for you. I know somebody who has your answers. Even though they went to 6 years of college or 8 years of college, and even some of us who may even appear that we have all of the knowledge of God, sometimes we don't know everything, but I do know a God who does. If we ever fall into one of these afflictions, if you ever fall into one of these, you will definitely need help. You will definitely need a helping hand. You will definitely need to reach out a helping or a hand of need to somebody. And there's no doubt that you don't have to live in these circumstances because God wants to be able to help you. I'm not talking about living in prosperity and God's going to make you rich and God's going to make you healthy and all that stuff. But I do know the God that I serve. I do know the Savior who I walk with. I do know, I have no idea what He may want to do in your life, but there's no doubt He wants to be the key and the intricate part of being able to help you in your affliction. Necessarily, He may not take away the affliction, but He may necessarily make it light so that you might be able to bear it. He may not take it away, but you will be able to handle this affliction as you go on, because that is the wonderful God that we serve. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9 says this, in their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. He bared them. He carried them all the days of old. Now, what he's talking about there, Isaiah is talking about the Messiah that is coming or whatever, and he said all of this time and the afflictions and stuff was upon Him. We have a Savior that has come. If you would, it'd be nice if you would read or study that out. There's a couple intricate parts about a stained garment and all that stuff. Very beautiful reading in there, talking about our Savior and how wonderful He is. But you really have to study in order to get some of these things out. He has come to be able to help us in these afflictions. Hunger, thirsty, naked, sick, those in prison, those being able to be strangers, not knowing how to fit in. He wants to help the least of us. Now, necessarily, you know, you may look at certain people in our church here tonight. You may look at me, or you may look at your pastor. You may look at certain people in the church, maybe some of the deacons, maybe some of the spiritual leaders in our church, and you may say, man, they have it going on. But at one time, they were the least. At one time, they had afflictions too, and still do. But they know where to go. They know who to talk to. Because there's no doubt that God does not want to leave us in these situations. Because there's no doubt if we walk through these situations and come out on top, there is a testimony for God to have. There is a testimony that He can have through us of being able to testify of His wonderful grace and His wonderful mercy. If you're not in one of these categories as the church, please help somebody who is. There's no doubt, I'm not going to get into all the intricate details of this scripture of you provided for Him and you were doing it unto Jesus and all this stuff. I'm not going to get into that because that's not what my sermon's about tonight. But if you have the means to help somebody, folks, it is the part where the Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you if we see a brother in need and we turn our backs from them? How dwell the love of God in you and me? So I just make that point and go on. But help the least of these. And if you're the least of these, your help is coming. Because you're one of God's favorites. And God wants to help you and minister in your need. Now let's talk about not only the least, let's talk about the last. Nobody likes to be last, do we? I don't either. But however, that's just human nature. Mark chapter 9 and verse 34 through 37. But they held their peace, for by the way, he had disputed among them, or they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. That means the disciples were bickering amongst themselves who would be the greatest. Let that sink in just a little bit. They were bickering amongst themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such a child in my name receiveth me, and shall receive me, receive not me, but him that sent me. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 48, I want you to get this, because this is the same story, but I just grabbed this scripture and added it to Mark chapter 9. And it said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is the least among you, the same shall be great. So we went from the last to the great if we're not careful. Or if we are careful. If we go to the last, servant of all, we will become great. And here they are. These disciples are going down the road. They are serving their master. They are walking with the embodiment of the Word of God. We are being right in the midst. You and I, right now, Jesus Christ is in heaven. We have an advocate with the Father. He is not physically here. In the Spirit, He is here. But however, they had Jesus Christ right in their midst, could touch Him, could talk to Him, could ask Him questions, could be able to learn at the feet of the Master. And yet here they are going down the road and bickering amongst themselves, who shall be the greatest when we go to the kingdom of heaven? Or who is the greatest amongst us? It'd be nothing but a bunch of guys anyway. If you'd have chose 12 women, they'd have chose something else to bicker about. But they possibly would not have bickered about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Put it on 12 men to find themselves a place of figuring out, testing each other's muscles and seeing how big they are and everything else. It'd just be upon men and themselves to try to bicker and find out who is the greatest. And then you get these burly men, these men who were fishermen and tax collectors, and men who had been out there working and toiling and all this stuff. And I envision some of these guys, you know, pretty good shape, you know, not a whole lot of sissy about them. But then, of all things, Jesus comes along and takes a small child and says, you must become like this. You must do this. And taking this illustration, scooping the child up, holding the child in his arms, beginning to administer to them what he expected of them. He did not take their ego and begin to pet their ego as he went on. He could have grabbed a soldier and said, this is how I want you to be. He could have grabbed someone out of his own profession as a carpenter and saying, or a working man and saying, this is how I want you to work in the kingdom of God. Maybe he could have picked out a butcher. I hope he didn't pick out no butcher, but I have it down there. That's just what I said. He could have picked out a butcher, and hopefully nobody's butchering anybody in here. But he could have even, out of all the things, he could have picked out a shepherd. And said, you need to be like this. This is how we must serve one another. We must lead one another. Or we must help one another. And that's not what he said. He grabbed up a child. And there are many, including myself, I have forgotten this lesson many, many times, especially when somebody steps on my toes in the church. When somebody says something that's just not right, I'm going to set it straight. Just right when I get to the place where I'm doing pretty good spiritually, you know somebody's got to say something to you and get your feathers all ruffled and out of the way. There's no doubt, but he said not to act like the soldier, or not to act like the carpenter. He said you ought to act like the child. And the reason was is that you don't become first anymore. I don't have to get the last word with you. I have to be a servant to you. And you know, out of all things, I must be a servant. There's no greater picture of servanthood than when Jesus Christ knelt down and began to wash the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And there's no doubt, I wish I would have been there for all of the disciples being able to see Him wash their feet and even walking up to Judas Iscariot and being able to wash the very one who is going to put Him, sell Him out, kiss Him on the cheek with a kiss of betrayal, being able to see Him wash His feet. It's amazing. We must become last. You know, we have to put away trying to get attention. Maybe to get a certain position. It happens in the church of people trying to get a certain position. Doing anything they can or anything that we can do to pull strings and just to get a little bit more power. Just to get a little bit more piece of the pie. And really, in all honesty, all you're after is the power, or you're after the piece of the pie, or you're after just a little bit of somebody saying how spiritual you are. And really, in all honesty, all you're doing is for yourself. And we have to be careful that we must serve one another. And it says, the same shall be last of all. You're not going to get all fired up because Sister So-and-so said something to you that, oh, Pastor, did you hear what she said to me? We're going to be a servant to all. We're going to live and help one another. The same shall be last of all and a servant of all. His pride, I'm just going to read this to you because there's no way I can remember all this after I wrote it down. His pride and his vanity shall be checked. His ambitious view of himself shall be frustrated. Instead of being first, he shall be last. And instead of having a superior reverence or respect, he shall be abased and treated with neglect and contempt. And instead of being the master over others, shall be the servant of all in humility and meekness and performing the lowest services to all with diligence and cheerfulness. There's nothing worse than going to church with people or going to church, any church for that matter, or being with people, and they have such a disgruntled view about their work for the Lord. Folks, we are serving a risen Lord. We are serving a God who came down here and became sin for you and I. There should be something I ought to get excited about. There should be something that I ought to be joying over. There ought to be something that I'm getting excited about. There ought to be stuff that I'm starting to put away and not allowing myself to do anymore. When I come to Him in His majesty, in His holy reverence, in His the holy place of being able to feel Him and touch Him and being able to experience Him in my life, we want to prepare ourselves to be that sanctuary. We want to be able to prepare ourselves. And if there's too much room for you inside of here and no room for Him, we will never make it. You and I must become the least among all. I must become your servant. I must become the person that washes your feet. I must become the person that tries my best to get along or tries to come up with the ways that we can solve the problems in the church. I must become last. That'll deal with a lot of arguments in the church. That'll deal with a lot of positioning in the church. That'll deal with a lot of backbiting. That'll deal with a lot of people that talk out the side of their cheek to you. One minute they're your friend, and the next minute when you walk by, you hear a little snide remark. It happens right here. I like to tell the truth, because that's what the Bible tells me to do. There is no sense and the reason in the church we ought to love one another. There is no doubt that if you will become like this child, you will become useful to the Lord as you serve others and consider not your own. In the way of the Indian, in his belief, he could do nothing until he took his first scalp. You guys realize that? An Indian could do nothing until he took his first scalp. In other words, he took someone's life from them. Their way of thinking was me first and you next. I must, you know, getting counting coop and all that stuff and being able to ride into battle and being unmerciful at times. Some Indians rather friendly, but however some others just going in and massacring and burning houses down, all that stuff. Without this scalp, he could not get married. When battles came, he would have to stay behind with the women until he got this scalp of someone. He was not able to sit a council or say his piece. Now folks, this is the way that we ought not to be. You and I still ought to love one another. Where the Indian has a place where before he took his first scalp, some of us ought to be heading out the opposite to the nursing home. Right, Brother DeBoard? Some of us ought to be going to the prison where some folks are locked in tight. I understand everybody in here has heard the gospel about 600 times, maybe more than that, within just the last few years of this church, if you've been coming here. And there are men out there dying and going straight to a devil's hell. Possibly they don't care, but that does not what the Lord asks us to do. Be a servant. Go and serve. Do the best you can. Find a place to do your ministry. I'm not calling you into the to be a pastor. I'm not calling you to be evangelist. But I am telling you, go out there and share this gospel with someone. They sure need it. Now let's look at this. We have the least. We have the, I have to look at my notes here. We have the least. We have the last. But then we have the lost. How many of you know how far God goes to find the lost? There is no doubt when I have given up on some people, when I never thought that I would see them walk through the backs of these doors ever again, they prove me wrong time and again. I've often thought that some people, I thought never will I see some folks get saved again. And however, I see God moving and ministering and going after these people, driving after them, the Holy Spirit convicting them. I don't know how it all works. I remember being a backslider and God dealing with me, but I don't know how it works in your life. But there's no doubt that the Lord loves the lost people. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11 down to 13. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray." There is something about that that is just something very interesting. He does something. This lamb does something to get lost. I mean, something happens to where this lamb or this sheep loses its way. And some of us have been there, maybe backslid or whatever, just the same way as a child gets lost by not listening to their parents. I don't know how many times that we've been out in some zoo somewhere, maybe down in Fort Wayne or something like that, and I've told Josiah, I say, "Josiah, stay real close. Don't be dawdling around, because he'll run ahead of you or he'll run behind you. You just never know." And you'll say, "Don't, just stay right here." If you guys have kids, you know what I'm talking about. They hardly ever listen. And you'll be looking around and you'll be looking at the porcupines or the skunks or whatever they may have down in Fort Wayne. And you're looking at stuff, and next thing you know, where's Josiah? And then the next thing you know, he was right behind you the whole time. But however, you'll look around and you'll say, "You have to follow directions. Listen to what the Lord has to say to you. That'll help you. Read your Bible. Pray every day. That'll help you." You know, I've gotten lost even reading directions. Man, that's hard for a man to tell, isn't it? Boy, I'm really getting on to the guys tonight. One, guys want to beat each other up and then all this stuff. But here we are. And I mean, even getting to the place where you lose, you know, you get lost while reading directions. too proud to ask for help. Why are we too proud to ask for help in God's house? Right here in the midst of our church, there are men of God, women of God, knowledge and wisdom beyond anything that we could ever ask for, and people still make some of these decisions, and I don't know where, even not even where your spirituality is, because it's already going out the door if you're starting to lose yourself, but where's your brain at? You know, where's your head at? There is knowledge to be gained here. There is help. And some people have the direction. Some people have, I mean, folks, even if you don't ever want to, don't ever not do this. But even if you don't want to listen to your pastor, right here, please listen to your pastor. And this, he'll listen to this and then I'll get in trouble and his wife's in here and she'll say I'm trying to cause division in the church. But however, read this book. Listen to what it says. It aggravates me so bad. Please don't ever do this to me. I've had people come up and tell me, now I'm preaching to you a 3-point message. Three, right? Not one, not two, three. I cannot stand it. It's a pet peeve. Might not be very good. I can't stand it when somebody comes up to me and says, well, point number one really wasn't for me. Two was okay. Three, wow, that really got me now. Folks, I spend hours praying and trying to study. Please don't ever tell somebody you're only considering just part of their sermon. And you watch people that when they only consider part of the sermon or their, and what I'm saying is that they'll take certain parts out. I like this part. I like this part. I like this part. I don't have to listen to another rest. And you'll find people making mistakes because you don't listen to the whole counsel of God. You can't have part. You can have the whole, but you can't have part. You know, I've also lost some stuff before. Man, I'm bad. You know, for when I first started getting glasses, okay, I haven't always had glasses. I think I've gotten glasses in the last 6 years or whatever. When I was 29, I got glasses, I believe. Something like that. And anyway, I had a horrible mess of trying to find out where my glasses were all the time. Matter of fact, I came into church one day. I couldn't even find them, and I was like, oh, where's my glasses? And then, sure enough, my wife goes in there after church, after we've been in a Sunday morning church, we go home, and she's like, well, here your glasses were. Well, now I have a set place where I stick them, but I have lost things before. You ever lost anything before? Sometimes I have to constantly ask my wife where something might be. You know, I would not have a problem. I would not have a problem losing something if I did not lose my desire for it. Or if I didn't forget the value of it. Do you know how much these glasses cost without insurance? Man, they're big time without insurance. I mean, I'm going to give you just a ballpark figure of $300. Okay? If I would remember that these babies cost $300, I guarantee you I wouldn't be losing them that often. And I guarantee you that if you would remember the price that was paid for your salvation, you wouldn't lose that altogether often either. You wouldn't stop forgetting about the day that you got saved. You wouldn't forget about the times that you got filled with the Holy Ghost at the altar. You wouldn't forget about the blessings that you wouldn't even not remember the Lord's or the pastor's sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Because you would realize how precious it was that you're even here by the grace and the mercies of God. Without those things of realizing how important that to me, or how precious this stuff is to me, there's something that you can ask yourself and being able to examine yourself and find out where you're at. God loves the lost, folks. But however, He really doesn't want you to get lost to begin with. He loves the lost, and there's no doubt. Because there's not so many people here tonight, I was going to bring up three gentlemen, and I had who I had in my mind. But I just want you to bear with me here. Think about the men of God that we have in our church. I was thinking about Brother Streeter. I was thinking about Brother Lance. I was thinking about Brother Skip Boyer. I was thinking about Brother Prysock. I was thinking about different ones I could stand up here. And we could go down through and we could talk about their talents and the things that they offer to God, and Sunday school teachers and teach the teen class and the giving that they do and the stuff, the talents that they just have in their physical. You know, Brother Lance does drywall and there's all kinds of things that can be ministered to, and the precious things that these men give our church as we look at them. And yet the Lord, even in all of that, all of their talents, all of the grace that and the mercies of God that have been poured out upon them, God would leave them and go after the lost of this world. You and I would be put aside so that the Lord could save one. He said He left 99 sheep so that He could go find the lost. You ever been there before? I mean, you felt like you were the one, the only one in the whole world, and that God cared for you, God cared for me. That is very precious. There's no doubt when we look at the lost, there's not much they can offer. They don't know a whole slew of Bible scriptures. They don't know how to really pray and get a hold of God. They've never really experienced any kind of the things that we experience of Pentecost, of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They really wouldn't know how to teach a young child's class because they've not been in it very long. And yet the Lord in His mercy would go out and leave you and me to go out and find that lost lamb, that lost sheep. And He, those are His favorites of being able to look for them. Even sometimes in where I wanted to do tonight is I wanted to be able to take these men and I wanted to ask them, even though with so much talent and abilities, you know, the shepherds still chose one. You know, just the one to go out after, the one that was lost. And I wanted to ask these men with all these talents, how did you finally get to this place of having so many talents and knowing so much about the Word of God and knowing so much about the Scriptures? How did you get to that place? And I guarantee you, most of them would answer me right and said, it was because of the grace and the mercies of the Lord that I am here. It is because of the mercies of God that followed me down a path of unrighteousness, ungodliness. And tonight, they are here, or whoever's here, or whoever loves God, because the Lord decided to shine down upon you and me His mercy and His grace, His loving kindness. And if it wouldn't have been for that, folks, some of us would not be here tonight. Some of us would be in jail. Some of us might be in different relationships. Some of us would be in horrible marriages. Some of us would be divorced. I don't know. We'd be in bad shape. Some of us would be laying in a cold, dead grave because of the choices that we made and the things that we had happen to us. Luckily, I can stand tonight and I can say that my Savior has had His way in my life. Has He had His way in yours? Has He had His way in you? You know that song, let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood will cleanse your heart and make you free. Anybody else know the rest of it? One Brother Parsons, you're supposed to be helping me. That's an old Baptist song, probably. But folks, He wants to minister and to change you and I. Y'all understand? I'm going to head for a close. Brother, you can just turn some music on. That's fine. Folks, as we look at it, God loves the pitiful of this world. He likes the least. He likes the last. And He likes the lost. And they are His favorites. And you know, every one of us in here tonight search for significance. I search for significance every day. I wonder why in the world I get out of bed and go to work anyhow. But we're always, each one of us is searching for, where can I be significant in this world? What can I do? Maybe even some of us do stuff to where we try to get God's attention and say, God, over here, over here. Folks, you've got God's attention. No matter where you fall in at, no matter whether it's a physical need, a material need, whether or not, you know, you need to learn how to back up and let somebody be first before you, whatever that is, God wants to move on our lives. He wants to take us and build us up into something. Do you know why the 99 wasn't worried about God going out or the shepherd going out and bringing that lost sheep back? You can get into that. I could probably preach that for another hour or half hour or whatever I want to do. But the reason why is because they were thankful for the place that God had brought them to. They were thankful for what He had done for them. And to be honest, probably those other sheep were glad that He went out and got the other one. You know, sometimes I like to step back and I like to watch and see what the Lord does with the lost people of this world, because it's magnificent. And I get a charge out of it because I remember what He did for me. He still does stuff for me, but being able to see His grace and His mercies and being able to see Him do some wonderful things. Our Lord is magnificent. He's not looking for a king. He's not looking for some prince. He's just looking for a willing vessel. He's just looking for somebody who has needs that will reach out to Him. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for Your things that You give to us and the things that You are to us, Lord. Those people despised and rejected of this world. For, Lord, folks that some people won't even look at twice before doing anything with them. Some people that have been rejected and looked down upon or whatever it is. Some folks, things been said to them that they may not be able to forget. But Lord, I know that You are wonderful and amazing. Being able to help those in affliction, being able to help those who need help and becoming the last, and even, Lord, those who are lost, and some of them don't even know who You are. Lord, I'm so thankful for what You do for us. Continue to minister to us around the altars. Encourage those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come and find a place to pray. Hallelujah.